We just heard it. You know, we just heard it. We don't know anything about it other than that he died. Nat, the guy that used to own Piggly Wiggly, he died. That's all we know. Not sure how. But pray for his family. The guy that owned it all that those years that was good before he saw it. Yeah. I reckon you can pass them out. Yeah. We're going to actually let everybody have service tonight or do the service tonight. With some testimonies. Some testimonies about this stuff. Amen. But he said that he should start listening. Oh, I think you're doing fine. But we're talking about confessions. See, we did something. Just do something different. This is all just something different. We started last week, and we're going to end it tonight. It's just some scriptures. I mean, that's, you can't get much more simpler than that. Just some scriptures. Amen. And we're going to give everybody a chance if they want to. They can actually add to what we're saying with some testimony about how maybe you've seen God work in your life and how God did something for you when you stepped out on faith and you trusted Him. Amen. God is so awesome. All the time, God is awesome. Amen. Well, first, let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're an awesome God and that you're in total, absolute control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Father, in a way that only you can. I ask you, Lord, to touch each and every person here right now, God. Let them feel your power. Let them feel your presence in the name of Jesus. And to know that you're here. Father, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us, all that you say. And, Lord, I know, God, that you're in total, absolute, positive, 100% control. And I know, Lord, without you, God, we can't do a thing. But, Lord, with you, we can do all things. And I thank God for that, don't you? Give, Lord, a hand clap of praise. God is awesome, awesome, awesome. Amen. Let me, my thing here is backing up on me. Electronic stuff is really awesome, but it can also make a big mess. And it seems like every time I think I got it all together, something else pops up. They gave me an upgrade today. Or how many understand apps on your phone, how do you get upgrades on your apps and upgrades on your smartphones? Well, I got an upgrade on one of my Bible apps today, and bless their hearts. I don't know who they were trying to help, but I don't think it was the people that had the apps. Amen. So let's go ahead and go into this thing. God is, how many of God is our provider? Remember last week that Satan seeks to divide. He seeks he's a divider, and he's also an accuser. And so he's always trying to get caught up in our life and trying to make us believe that God can't take care of us and get us to blame whatever's happening to us to everybody around us. But you know what? Even in this crazy economy, God can still provide for us. You know, even just like yesterday, my car, I can't tell you how much money I've spent on my car lately. Matter of fact, it makes me sick in my stomach every time I think about how much money I've spent on my car lately. And so when I got to the place yesterday and they worked on my car, I said, y'all realize that y'all have worked on my car. There's no telling how many times. And they said, yeah, but everything we worked on is under warranty. The only problem is what we're working on now is not under warranty because it's the only thing left that's not under warranty. I said, thanks a lot. But they still wind up doing something for me it had to be less than half price. Because they said, I reckon because they felt bad because now what tore up was something that they hadn't fixed or what. But I said, thank you, Lord, for supplying, because it absolutely was driving me crazy to think that after all that money I spent on it, I had the one little thing they didn't change happen. And if it all changed at the same time, it'd probably been a whole lot cheaper. But still, they took care of it and made it so it would have been the same if they'd have worked on it all at one time. And all I could think about is during all this was, God, you're my provider. You're my provider. You're in control. I'm not going to listen to the lies of Satan. I'm not going to get up here and throw a hissy fit. I'm representing you, God. And so I sat down with them, and I told the guys, I said, guys, I'm not upset with you. I said, what I'm upset about is is all of this money. You know, I've been spending on this car, and now you're going to pop up and tell me the only thing I haven't fixed is broke now. You know, so they said, well, guess what, idiot? I said, thanks a lot. And so, praise God. So now, let's go on this. Give, and it will be given. Remember what we talked about last week? What you reap is what you, or what you sow is what you're going to reap. If you need happiness, sow happiness. If you need understanding, sow understanding. If you need people to cut you a little bit of slack, then maybe you ought to start cutting other people a little bit of slack. And you know how you say, well, that means people are going to see me doing it to others and they're going to change. Not necessarily, but God said he would do it. God would do it. So if he sees you cutting people slack, then he's going to wind up getting you some slack cut. If he sees you not being so hard on people, then there'll be people around you that won't be so hard on you. The same way, he says, give and it will be given. And he says, because I give and will be given to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be given to me, for the same measure I use will be measured back to me. I've heard people say, well, why ain't God taking care of me? I heard one man that got in the car and one man said, that's about the longest sermon I ever heard, and I didn't get anything out of it. And the mama said, yeah, and the praise team was awful, and said, I didn't think that they even knew what they were singing, and the musicians, they went on. The little kid looked up and said, what do you expect for a quarter? They saw the offering plate go by and threw a quarter in. You know, but again, that's a joke, y'all. It's all a joke. But again, it's how you give is how it's going to come back to you. And I forget it sometimes. I'm needing something, and I'm trying to hold on as hard as I can hold on because I'm needing something. And God says, when you're needing something, now's not time to hold on. Now's the time to let go. Whatever you need, if you let go, God will give it back, and he'll give it. As a matter of fact, he uses a bigger shovel. Can anybody tell me of a time that you decided, and good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, when people would buy from you vegetables in the market or beans or whatever they bought in the market, they would actually, if it was a quart container, they would pour it in there and they would shake it. So you get rid of it. So if there's any air or there's anything in there, any obstructions, it would move it. And then they would pour it again. They'd shake it until it was that. How many's ever? I went to Hardee's and Linda likes those Hardee milkshakes. So last year, I remember going to Hardee's and paying like $3 for a milkshake. And the thing was only that full of milkshake. And the rest of it was cream and air. And so, I handed it back in the window. And I said, this isn't a milkshake. This is a half a milkshake. I said, if y'all don't mind, I'll pay for a whole milkshake. And they said, excuse me. I said, you just gave me a half. I just paid $3.50 for a milkshake, and you gave me a half a glass. And she said, I'm sorry, sir. I said, well, it's okay. Just finish filling it up. And so they finished filling it up and gave it back to me and gave me Linda's, and hers was all filled up. And the next time I went, I said, I'm the one that don't like a half a cup. If you don't mind, I'm paying for a whole cup. Give me a whole cup. You know, the same way when you bought stuff from people back in those days, they made sure that when you paid for a whole cup, you got a whole cup. They would shake it and they wait till it was running over. And then when it was running over, they knew that they'd given you actually more than that quart. That's awesome. I like it when people do stuff like that. You know, the baker's dozen. Baker's going to give you, instead of 12, gives you 13. Because he's going to make sure you get your money's worth. Well, God says if you give, then he's going to give it back, and he's not going to give you back a half a cup. He's going to let it run over. That's an awesome thought. And all through the years, I've discovered it, I've seen it, and it's not necessarily money. Sometimes it's other things. But I've noticed if I can give, then it comes back to me every time. Not once. A cheerful giver. We talked about that last week. Yeah, be a cheerful giver. Give it cheerfully. You got to have a good attitude about it. But if you, well, whatever you need, if you'll find a way to give it, and give it heartily with a good attitude, and give it. Don't hold back on it. You'll find out it's going to come back to you, and it's going to come back to you in a good way. I know some people. I got some people in my family right now that they used to do this, and life was so pleasant for them. And somewhere along the way, they started pulling in like this, and the more they pulled in like this, the worse it got. And now, I tell them, there's people in my family right now that are miserable. They're absolutely miserable. And I told him, I said, you know, used to you reached out to people. You were happy. You reached out to people. You tried to make a difference in their life. And now it's all holding in. I said, if you go back that way, you'll find out life will be fun again. But you know what? Sometimes it's like talking to that wall. So again, give and it will be given. Whatever you need, you give. If it's hope, if it's a smile, if it's understanding, if it's money, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be money. People say, it says it's all about money. No, it's about giving. All right, giving of yourself. Secondly, anybody got anything to say about that before I go on? That's right. That's right. Yeah, I went down. We were having a race at Fountain, and the EMTs were down there working for free, watching over the racers in case they needed help down at Witches Beach. And one of them come up, wondered if they could get some ice. And one of the workers said, "You can't have any ice." I said, "What?" I said, "Can't." They told us not to give ice to anybody. I said, "Well, that's why I wanted to told you. I didn't hear it." And I went and got me a big old cooler. And I come back and I filled it up and over. And I went down there and I went to the EMTs. I said, "Who wanted ice?" I said, here's enough ice for everybody. And then so I said, "If you need any more, don't go see them. Come see me. You get all the ice you want." Again, how you give is how it's going to come back to you. That's a good thing. That was great. That was absolutely great what you did. That's right. Well, they did. They sure did. All right. Okay. Well, I have seen people. All right, let me tell you a little story. If I can maybe clarify that up, because they did take her to theater. They just said, "Why'd you give money if you needed it?" And I understand that too. That's the human side of us, compassion. I was preaching a revival in Lewisburg. And I'd preached all week long, and there was this guy that was blind. He had taken a .38 and tried to kill himself. He shot himself, but instead of killing himself, all he did was sever both of his optic nerves. So he's blind, and he was probably around 30 years old, maybe less than that, maybe 28, mid-20s. And I was sitting there talking one day, dirt before service, and I heard something go off and say what time it was. I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, it's my watch." He says, he pushed it and said, "It tells you what time it is." And I said, "Where do you get those?" And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because my mom was legally blind." Of course, they operated on her and got her most of her sight back in one eye. But I said, "My mom was legally blind, and I would be able to love to bring one to her." And he did this. And I said, "I'm not taking your watch. I will not take it." He said, "You're going to take it." I said, "I'm not going to take it." The pastor was behind me. The pastor said, "Take it." And I said, "I'm not going to take it." And I gave it back to him. Then he said, "Well, I've got two or three more of them at home." Here's what he told me. I See, my compassion was saying, I'm not taking the watch. But then he said, I got a couple more at home. And he said, he told me, he said, I don't have any money to give in this revival. I've been so blessed. He said, this is my contribution to the cause. He said, please take this and give it to your mom and tell her that I want to be a blessing to her because her son was a blessing to me. And so, again, I took it with a lot of reservations, but the pastor assured me they had more of them. So, okay, so I took it. And the funny thing about it was I took it and stuck it up on the counter, and the boys and I had gone fishing the next day, and he had it set for an alarm to go off when it was time to leave to get a revival. And so it went off while I was about a mile down the road, my boys fishing. I come back, and my wife was doing her homework from college, and she said, you're not going to believe this. I said, well, she said, there's a rooster in this thing. And I said, oh, come on, Bear, but there's no rooster in this house. She says, there's a rooster in this house. I said, there can't be. I said, there's no chickens around here. She said, there's a rooster in our house because it went off. And then she said, I couldn't find it. And then about 10 minutes later, it went off again. I couldn't find the rooster. So we waited till the next day. When it went off, I hunted it down. It was that alarm clock. The alarm on it was a rooster. Yeah, but I went and gave it to my mama, and I told mama the story. And mama got mad at me and said, you took his watch. And I said, mama, I didn't want to take his watch. I said, but him and the pastor both said he had more, and that I would hurt his feelings if I didn't take. Okay, so now, a lot of times I've had people come and tell me things like that. I don't have any money. I've got a little bit. I gave it to church. You know, now I need something to eat. I'm going to go get them something to eat. And just the compassion in my heart wants to say, you shouldn't give that money. Keep it for you and do that. But see, that's when the other person, their faith is saying, give it. And so that's a battle that goes on. And every time I have people come up to me all the time and they say, you know, not all the time. I have them not just here, but other places too, and say, hey, I don't have this money or I don't have this that I need. And said, but what I did have, I gave to God. And he promised he would supply, so I gave it to him. So in other words, what they were actually reaching out with their faith. All of us are guilty. I'm guilty. When somebody comes to me and tells me they don't have anything and they're trying to give something, I'm trying to say, no, don't give. Keep it. You take it and use it where you need it. So I see that battle. You see what I'm saying? The battle. So if somebody's doing, as long as they fed them, it lets me know their compassion was out there. It's just that if they said, why'd you give it? It's because that compassion. You know what I'm saying? That compassion inside says, take it and use it, and we'll find some other way to do it. So what I've learned over the years, and I've told people this, here's what I tell them. When I go to give them something, they go, I can't take it. Here's what I tell them. You're not going to rob me of my blessing. And I give it to them anyway. And what I've given it to them before, and I've seen them go out and do something stupid with it. But you know what? God's still going to bless me because I, in an act of faith, in an act of obedience, I gave them that money. And so you got compassion and you've got faith. You got all these things going around. And so if I could talk to that person, I think I could make them understand, you know, that was somebody being compassionate, not being hard, being compassionate. And I've done that too. I'm guilty. I'm just as guilty as anybody. Right. But again, that, oh yeah, and once you understand some things, because I'm telling you, over the years, I've had some hard things when somebody come up to me. All right, we did a pounding. How many's ever heard of a pounding? Where the church comes together and brings food, and feeds the family, groceries. Well, when I was in our very first church, and I was clerk at this church. And so I knew all the background, what was going on in the background. And they actually had a pounding for two families. And one family was actually more destitute than family A was more destitute than family B. We had a pounding and neither one of them knew it was for them. Neither one. Family A, which was more destitute than anybody had ever seen, went out and brought stuff, I mean a bunch of stuff, that they could scrape up for that pounding for this family. The person that wasn't as bad off as they were didn't bring anything. And then we split it down the middle and gave them to both families. I saw one of the greatest acts of faith by that family that was so destitute, given. And I watched this other family that was in bad shape, but not destitute. They didn't give at all. You know what I'm saying? So again, my faith was ignited by watching this family that had nothing. I mean, beyond nothing. You know, and so again, it's got to do with faith. And if somebody's got that kind of faith, here's what I say, and it's hard to do it. Here's what I say. If they got that kind of faith, then let them exercise that faith. Let them exercise, because God will bless them. All right? Now this one here is talking about your substance here. Honoring the Lord with my substance, because I honor the Lord with my substance with the first fruit of all my increase. As a result, my barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, that's just saying, again, you put God first. You take care of His business. Here's what God says in His Word. Here's about how He says it. You take care of my business, I'll take care of yours. He said, well, God can take care of His business. Yes, He can. But here it is. God wants to use men. And if God wants to use men to do His business, if He wants to use us men, He could have just got a heavenly loudspeaker, because He did it when His Son was baptized. He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. He could just holler the gospel out from a heavenly trumpet, and He's going to do it during Revelation. There's going to be a lot of trumpeting going on. But right now, God wants to use us as His instruments of grace, that we reach out to people. And before I ever do a funeral, if my wife's not able to come, I call her up before the funeral. And we pray this, God, help me and whoever else is in this funeral be instruments of grace. Because we don't have what it takes. These people are hurting. They need something deeper than what we can give them. Let us be instruments of grace. You know, so again, but when you take care of God's business, He'll take care of you. This is so wild the way God works it. Two things that just happened in the last week and this week. I told some of y'all this. One of the guys at Fountain, one of the engineers, the guy that did the Navy SEAL boats that were used in Desert Storm. And if y'all didn't know this, Fountain Power Boats were the very first boats to hit the shore in Desert Storm. That's pretty cool. Yeah, they're the very first boats. And so this guy was the guy that did most of the design on them. And the Navy was even thinking about hiring him. Well, this guy had worked at Fountain and quit. They come and got him back to go to Fountain, and we became immediate friends, and he and I worked together side by side a whole lot. Well, he went to another company, and he kept trying. He went to two different companies, and he tried to get me to go with him. I wouldn't go. And I said, I'm satisfied pastoring. No. And I'm glad I didn't, because one company shut down, the next company sent all the work to Mexico. So I don't like sombreros, okay? And so but he had a heart attack. And so when he had a heart attack, he had to leave, and he went to Colorado, where his other family was from. And I had this big urge to call him all week. So I finally called. And when I called, his wife answered his cell phone. And she said, who is this? I said, it's David. She said, David Linton. I said, yes. She said, I'm sorry, Larry died. Okay. Now, this is not because of his heart attack. It's because of something else. And she said, I was wanting to get up with you, but I didn't know how. And the Holy Spirit had get me to call. And so I did his funeral Saturday. So I called him a week before. She come in from Colorado. And then when she came from Colorado, we worked out the funeral. And so we had it Saturday. God's awesome like that, for me to call her when she's trying to get a hold of me. Then last night, we were coming from my daughter's house late, because we've been helping them with a barn. And so we're coming up. While we're coming up, I had to stop at Food Lion. So Linda said, because the Washington Bridge is shut down right now, the little bridge, she said, honey, why don't you stop at this Food Lion? I'm right there on top of it. And she sent me a text, stop at this Food Lion instead of Chocolate. So, you know, pulled in there. And I'm looking for one product in the coffee aisle. And I'm looking, and I cannot find it. I looked again and again, and I said, this is a major product. It was Coffee Mate. I said, no, they got it. And I looked just like this. And I kept looking. I said, I can't be missing it. And so I looked back and forth. And while I'm looking, I stayed there 5 minutes more than I should. And while I'm sitting there, another guy walks up. And he says, I was just getting ready to call you. He said, I lost your number, and I was going to call somebody to get your number. He said, I got some of my family that's so depressed. And said, I know you do grief counseling. He said, will you please counsel this person? And I said, yes, I will. And so, again, that person that was coming, he wasn't even coming to Food Line. He was going to another store, and he said he felt a prick in the spirit to go to Food Line instead. So he goes to Food Line. I'm stuck looking for a product, and as soon as he left, my eyes hit that product. There's God. You know, God's looking out for us. He wants to. If we honor Lord, if we honor Him with my substance, the first fruit of all my increase, then God's going to take care of me, even take care of you. Even in the worst of times, He'll take care of us. Why? Because we will. This is so awesome. We will reap in due season. You say, well, I've given, given, given. I haven't reaped yet. Well, it may not be your due season. Due season literally means your appointed time. So, three people can be sitting there, and three people can get the same amount, and three people can be in the same situation, the same whatever. And one gets this great big increase, one gets a raise at work, and you seem to be, you got fired. And you go, wait a minute, this don't make sense. How did I get fired and they got raises? And, you know, your due season's not here yet. Due season is your specified time. If you give to God and you take care of God, this is do not become weary in doing what is right. Again, we're not taking the money out of this now. We're talking about all things. We're talking about being good to people, carrying His word, living right, doing what we're supposed to be doing. If I don't become weary in doing what is right, if I don't quit doing what is right, I can know that I will reap what I sowed in my season, which can't give up. And I can think of many, many, many things that wow, I'm glad I didn't give up. Because right at the time, there's been a couple times where I wanted to give up, and right by the time I got ready to give up, God said, nope, I'm going to show you. So next time, you just hold on and wait. So, okay. Any questions or comments? How about this? Okay. Oh yeah, I remember when I first started preaching, and I was preaching out of a person's house, and the Lord told me, said at Christmas time, go buy my ham. And I said, Lord, I can't even afford to buy my family. And I heard it again, go buy them. And I said, okay, Lord, but I don't feel right about this, really. I mean, you know, yeah, I would like to buy my family one. He said, go buy them a ham. Show how much you appreciate them. So I went and bought a nice big old ham. Didn't buy a cheap one, bought a nice one. Went in the house and I gave it to him. I left. I come back and said, okay, God, done what you said. I stopped in Roses. How many remember Roses in Washington? I stopped in Roses. And this guy came up to me, a fellow Christian that I knew but didn't know. And he came up to me and we were talking. And just in passing, just talking. And so I go to get what I'm getting. And I walked all the way to the other side of the store to get what I was getting. And I noticed he come running toward me. Kind of scared me. Come running toward me. And he walked into me. And that now, I forget exactly how much I paid for that ham. But this is way on back in the 90s, early 90s. Even though in the 80s. Whatever it was I paid for the ham, maybe $10 or something, way on back then. This man ran up behind me and he said, oh, the Lord told me something else I forgot to tell you. And I said, what? And he reached out his hand. He said, come here. And when I went out, he grabbed my hand like that. He said, you be blessed. And he walked off. And he walked off and looked in. There was a $20 bill in my hand. God not only paid me back for that, but gave me enough to pay for my family. And then some. So the Lord showed me. That was some of my early learning experiences about how God takes care of you. Here, I shall be satisfied. The Lord knows the days of the blameless. And just remember blameless now. Doesn't mean that you don't mess up. Doesn't mean that you don't sin. Let's go and get that one. Let's go and get that one right now. Because you go, well, I'm blameless. I'm not blameless. Let me ask you, is there anybody in here that's perfect? Is there anybody in here when there's a mud hole you walk over instead of through it? Because that, all right. He would. Yes, he would. Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. So look, though. What I'm saying is, though, think about this, though. How many in here, God tells us to live in a state of repentance? Meaning, if I live a repentant life, meaning that I keep short records. I keep my sheet, my rap sheet stays short. Because when the Holy Spirit convicts me of something, I go ahead and ask forgiveness. So my rap sheet don't keep getting longer and longer and longer and longer and longer. I keep a short account. I also keep a short account with people. Okay? And if you keep a short account with people, guess what? Then it's like this. If you're having a hard time with people, honestly, you'll get to the point where you'll be mad at them and honestly can't. Sometimes with people, honestly, because my family was mad at them, so I thought I had to be mad at them, and I couldn't figure out why we were even mad at them. Or I get talking to them and I start going, "Hey, how you doing?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm still be mad at them. Hey, get out of my face." You know what I'm saying? So keep short accounts with God. And we're going to talk about that Sunday too. Anyway, we're going to talk about the model prayer Sunday. But still, here it is. The Lord knows the days of the blameless. What does it mean by blameless? It means that you do your best to live your best to please God, and you live a repentant lifestyle. Meaning, when you do mess up, you're quick to ask God to forgive you, because there's not a person in here that does not need the blood of Jesus every day. Every day, all right. So my inheritance shall be forever, meaning that when I get to heaven, look, I mean, I'm going to be blessed. It says I'm going to be blessed down here, but I'm really going to be blessed when I get to heaven. I shall not be disappointed in a time of evil. When things are going rough, I'm not going to worry about it. In the days of famine, I shall be satisfied. You know, I've seen that. I've seen it. I've seen it when things are falling around all around me and God blessing me. It's been amazing to watch it. All right. There's only, two more. Y'all got them. I sent y'all. I gave y'all what I'm looking at. Y'all got a copy of what I'm looking at, so you know, you'll know. Last week I didn't give you a copy. I just wanted you to look up there, so I'm going to do it that way. And isn't this cool, just kind of a sit down around the fireside chat? All right. God freely gives us all things. And this is so awesome. This right here is one of the most awesome scriptures, because it says, God freely gives us all things. You did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. How will you not also with him freely give us all things? Now, I want you to understand this. We look at that and we think, well, he didn't spare his own son. But if you look in the Greek construction of this sentence, it actually says, he did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him for us all, meaning literally he gave heaven's greatest. You could say, if you were doing this money-wise, if a banker was talking and reading the Greek, he would say God was not a tightwad. He gave his best. He gave his best. And that's awesome. God gave his very best. That's right. And delivered him up for us all. How we not also with him freely give you all things? And so knowing this, we don't have to be afraid when things are coming our way. And here's a scripture that can be a... gets a little bit abused. I watch this scripture coming up, and this scripture, actually, I've seen some of these prosperity preachers take this and run with it the wrong way. Let's try to hone in on this thing the right way and try to bring some sense to it. For I know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet he for my sake became poor, that through his poverty I might become rich through his poverty. Let me just kind of throw some out here now. Again, this isn't talking about you're going to drive a fancy car and live in some great fancy house. That's not what it's talking about. You're becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. His kindness, His gracious generosity, His undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. In that though He was very rich, He was the maker of all things. Yet for your sakes, He became so very poor, in order that in His poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Again, it's not talking about, you don't look at your bank account for this. What you look at is, the first thing you look at is God, Christ, or the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God, and He was the Creator. You can't get much more richer than that. He just speaks it, and there it is. You know, I used to like to watch when I was a little boy that show Bewitched. Y'all remember that show Bewitched that she would twinkle her nose? You know, and everybody tried to twinkle her nose. My nose was so long it wouldn't twick. Every time I did, I wound up hurting myself. So I just thought I'd throw it out there. Okay. But look, I said, this is amazing. She just wants something. She just goes, and there it is. And then when I got saved, I realized that Bewitched was just junk. You know, it was just somebody's imagination. But our God just speaks the word, and there it is. Wow. Just speaks it. And there it is. But He took Himself and He laid aside about it. The Bible says He made Himself no reputation. He literally laid aside that ability so that He could become one of us. And what He did through being baptized through the Holy Spirit above measure. Now, He was above measure. God with Him poured it on Him all the way. There you go. You know, I like to think I could get that kind of dose. You know, it'd be an awesome dose. But we'd probably hurt ourselves with that kind of dose. But through His poverty, we might become rich because He was willing to go all the way down. That means He can bring us up. And so there's all kinds of mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, He'll pick us up in our time of need. And so I thank God for that. I thank Him that He was willing to, you know, it's like, I heard this story about a man trying to take care of his dog, and he never could really understand his dog. And somehow or another, because it was a fantasy, he became a dog. And then he could understand. I mean, he saw the dog, how the other dogs, how they acted, but he really didn't know until he became a dog. He became a dog so he could understand in this fantasy. Well, the same way, Job, when he was doing all of the suffering, said, God, you really don't know how I feel. And God did. He said, there's no daysman between us. That word daysman means somebody that can feel what I'm going through. Can reach up with one hand, grab God, and reach down with the other hand and grab man. That can actually feel what's going on. And because God couldn't feel, and there was not a daysman, God let him know that that day was coming. Because you know, he said, I believe that the skin worms destroy this body, in my flesh I'll see God, and I know my Redeemer liveth. That person that's got the price, but is kin to me, knows what's going on, can feel what I'm feeling. And so Jesus Christ, He was a man stricken, sorrows, man of sorrows. He was stricken, beaten. He understands what it's like. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like living paycheck to paycheck. He was a contractor, so He knows what it's like living without a paycheck. You say, well, how does He know how it's like to have children? Well, He wasn't married. No, He wasn't married. But history tells us that Joseph died while Jesus was just a young man. And so Jesus was the oldest. And because Jesus was the oldest, Jesus would have had to run the family business. So Jesus ran the business. Jesus would also have had to be the man of the house. He'd have had to take care of his kids and take care of Mary. So He knows what it's like to take care of a family. Having a business, He knows what it's like to meet a schedule. He knows what it's like if you get slack. He knows what it's like when somebody gets slack and they can't catch up. He knows what it's like when you give it everything you've got and still have a hard time. Because remember, He was 100% man. He wasn't 50% man, 50% God. He was 100% man, 100% God. And because He was 100% man, He knows all this. And so He knows what it's like when you're trying to live paycheck to paycheck. He knows what it's like when a paycheck didn't come in. He knows what it's like when you got schedules that you can't meet. He knows what it's like when the kids need something and it's hard to get what they need. He understands all this because He was there. So, again, He said He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like, but He also trusted God. And He trusted Him especially when He was on that cross. He really trusted Him. So now, let's just Let's all say it together. Just the top. Don't read the whole story. Just the top ones. Just the top things. Okay, we'll say it together. Last week was awesome. And let's see. Where did I put last week? It's up here somewhere. That's okay. We'll find. I was going to say how last week put together a little story. This week puts together a little story too with these scriptures. Ready? Say it with me. Give and it will be given. And you know what you're doing? You're professing faith right now. You're professing your faith when you say that. Give and it will be given. Ready? Honoring the Lord with my substance. I'm going to reap in due season. Remember, y'all say my time. My time. I have two brothers and a sister. And y'all have got siblings, I know. You're bound to have a sibling or a cousin or somebody. And you can sit back and look, and y'all can be in the same circumstance where one person gets out and the other person don't. And then later, you wind up getting out of it, and you wonder, wow, that's awesome now. You know, well, again, it's your time. God's got a time for everybody. So when your time comes, it's going to be taken care of. All right? I shall be satisfied. God freely gives us all things. He became rich. We become rich through Jesus' poverty. Again, that does not mean you got some big fat roll back fat account. What that means is that he's going to supply your needs. He's going to take care of you. And that is an awesome, awesome, awesome thought. Now, let's go ahead. We're going to pray right here at your seats. Next week, I think we'll go back into the communication. If we do, I've been praying about it. In the next week or two, we're going to talk about the differences in men and women in communication. And it will blow you away. It will blow you away. It will open eyes. It'll open the female eyes. It'll open the male eyes. And matter of fact, I'll let you know ahead of time. If we're going to do it, I'll let you know Sunday so you can get some people in here with you that you might want to know. There's so much difference in the communication styles of a man and a woman. It will absolutely blow your mind. And seeing this will help you understand the other side of things. You know what I'm saying? And it's so cool, you know, like my wife says, when I tell my wife, she says, what you thinking? Nothing. And she goes, that can't be. I never think of nothing. I said, that's because you're a woman. I said, if I say I'm thinking of nothing, I'm thinking of nothing. Nothing. I'm a man. We can honestly think nothing. And it's like women can't think nothing, but guys can, you know. And so, No. My mind's going full speed. Yeah, mine's going full speed. It's racing around the track. When I lay down, all of a sudden I start thinking all kinds of things. Then the Lord start working about a message. I'll get up and I'll write it down. I come back, lay back down. I'll think about something I should be doing. So I go back and don't forget to do this tomorrow. And I go back and lay down. Yeah. Sometimes don't. Honestly, I don't mean to stop. You better be ready for that Starbucks. You're gonna get a Starbucks. You better be ready for it because I saw Amy's sister in Starbucks. I mean in Target the other day, and she had a little baby with her, and she was gonna go pick up the other two babies. Our two children, so she had three going, and she looked so pitiful, bless her heart. And so I felt the Lord speak to me and say, do something. All I heard was do something. And so I didn't know what to do. So I said, would you like Starbucks? And she said, oh, that's all right. I said, no, my treat. Let's have Starbucks. She said, okay. I said, what do you want? She didn't know some kind of drink. I had no idea. I had to write it down. So when I got there, I could tell them what I wanted. I mean, she said, what kind do you like? I said, it's like John Wayne. Give me John Wayne coffee. I just want John Wayne Starbucks. Yeah, the good stuff. Okay, well, but again, she told me that it helped her. You know, because it kind of picked her up a little bit. But see, if you drink a lot of coffee, it doesn't quite always do that same thing it does. People don't drink a lot of coffee. And you can, if you're a good coffee drinker, strong coffee drinker, many times you can drink a whole cup of coffee and go to sleep. And you know, two or three cups of coffee a day will actually help you defeat adult diabetes? It'll help you defeat diabetes, and there's some other heart problems that it'll help you defeat. You think it wouldn't be, but it does. It's medically proven that coffee helps run off some things. Plus, your blood type helps too. I've got O negative, and O negative is an awesome blood type. It fights, yes, it fights off disease. Really cool. Oh, yeah. That's right. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. It's so awesome to be in your house, God, to be amongst your people. Lord, I thank you, God, that you do so much for us. I thank you, God, that you're working for us even when we don't even realize it. You're doing things for us that we can't even imagine that you're doing. I ask you right now, Father, to touch us, Lord, to help us to hold on to the truth that you're in control. And that nothing, absolutely nothing, is going to come our way. That with your help, we can handle it. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch each and every person. Lord, help them take these scriptures to heart. This isn't my word, it's your word. And Father, it's definitely not my promise, but it's your promise. And your promises are not slack. They will not return void. And I thank you for it, Lord. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, come back Sunday morning expecting something great and to bring some people with us. And Lord, I know Sunday morning is going to be great. The reason I know it's going to be great is because I've already had a preview. That preview was this morning when I woke up and looked out and saw that sunshine. I know, Lord, you were still in control, and I thank you for it. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that when I got up, I could walk to the kitchen and make breakfast. Lord, you're just an awesome God. There's a lot of things I'd like to have that I don't. Father, there's some things I might think I need, but do I really? But Father, I know, Lord, everything I really need, you're taking care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. I thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I know, God, that whatever I need, if I'll give it, you'll give back. The difference is you're going to have a bigger shovel than I got. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all are dismissed.